In 2016, a 6'2", 195-pound wide receiver from Suwanee, Georgia, had a 4.4 20-yard shuttle, a 36.5-inch vertical, 4.71 40-yard dash. He attacks the leverage of the defender, catches the ball away from his body, a dependable every down possession wide receiver. He's a dependable guest on One Night in Pinehurst. We are welcomed by KJ Hancock.
That couldn't have been me, man. That intro could not have been about me.
And we are back. Welcomed, obviously, by Maddie, Alex, KJ. It was about you, but we're in draft season. We're in draft week. Are you getting pumped up? Like, you've always talked about when you've been on the show, you love the players, not necessarily the team. So this feels like it's
awesome. It's fun, man. Like, looking at the mock drafts and just trying to think that you're in the GM's head, like, what they need, what they really need. So it's probably the most exciting time, like, this free agency to draft time. It's probably the most exciting. Like, I love this time.
Maddie, you're getting burned out, I think.
It's too long. The draft needed to be last week. It's too long. It's stupid. They're just squeezing. It's just greedy. It's greedy Goodell just squeezing. You go on Twitter now, and it's like every other tweet. Breaking. Team may trade. Not sure if they will. Probably will. Also might not. And then it's more breaking news about nothing. It's too much. We need this draft.
Last week when they had the GMs talking about, like, who's going to trade up, trade down, every single GM was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the board's open. We might
open for business at pick four. So dumb.
We also realize that we don't know anything. That's the most fun part, is that we can speculate whatever we want. Like, everything just comes from the agents. Like, everybody keeps their cards close to their chest. No one really knows anything.
So you have some background too, KJ, in terms of, like, you were at a scouting combine when you were an intern with the Colts. Like, was there any, like, did you see any GMs or coaches, like, bantering back and forth at all?
Yeah, it's fun to them. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, because it's just, at the end of the day, it's business. You know what I mean? Like, no one's really going to tell you what they're doing, but you work with people that are close to you, and then you just kind of make your assumption how the draft's going to move. But all the GMs, man, are necessary. I won't say they're buddy-buddy, but they know you have to conduct business with the right people. You know what I mean? So
there are only 32 of them, right? Like, there are 32 in the league.
And you stand to lose so much by giving away your plan.
Oh, you do. It ruins everything.
More than anything, right? Like, you can talk trades during the season. It's like, oh, Gibby and AB and I all are GMs, and we all want to see if we can trade for KJ. It's like, that's not that unknown, right? Like, everybody kind of knows the few guys who are available.
Yeah.
The draft, though, man, you can squeeze a lot of value out if you keep your plans tight-lipped.
So we'll get into a few different, like, prospects, a few different teams, and talk about it a little bit. I want to start with Alex, America's best friend. And I gave you a little bit of homework. And there's one guy that I know you love, the McCaffrey family. So you've been a Christian McCaffrey fan, basically probably prompted by, like, your fantasy football relationship with him. He's got a brother in the draft who's a wide receiver. Sight unseen, how high would you draft a McCaffrey wide receiver?
Yeah, so I just got to be honest. I didn't do my homework. I started looking at McCaffrey, and then I got sidetracked by Olivia Culpo. Went down her Instagram rabbit hole for like 45 minutes. So that's where we're at. With that said, this is truly sight unseen. If he doesn't go in the first round, everyone's an idiot. Just take it.
he has some draft props for, like, where he'll get. There was one I saw. It was, will the Niners draft Jerry Rice's kid, McCaffrey? And there was a third person who was like,
oh, Frank Gore's Jr.
Frank Gore's Jr. Yeah, will they draft all those guys? And it was like plus 7,500. Like, who's betting that? Who's betting? I guess it's possible.
You'd be crazy.
One person in the room might.
I mean, actually, KJ, great point. You'd be crazy not to bet that. It's not that hard. You're going to get Frank Gore in the seventh.
I mean, look, my friends took Ryan Garcia at plus 900. plus 900 odds. So, I mean, dude, anything can happen. Like, honestly, anything can happen. So, in the world of betting, might as well bet it.
So, KJ, something happened this morning after Patrick Paul, an offensive tackle from Houston, declared that he was on people's first round draft board, like late in the first. Yeah. He was plus 1,000 as of 6:30 a.m. this morning. He is now plus 550 to go in the first round. And you were looking at some people that might have gotten him at plus 1,000. So,
no, yeah, it's okay. Dude, it's odds, man. You got to play the odds. I'm just telling you, like, you got to. I mean, this is probably why I'm in crippling gambling debt, but yeah, you got to play the odds.
Hey, if you don't play, you can't win, KJ. All right, that's all I know. That's
like, come on, dude.
Back. So, Maddie, you had a good point. Like, this is the one thing Vegas
doesn't like me. You thinking about somebody else? It wasn't me. If it was a
no, no, no. You said, like, Vegas just doesn't know. Like,
no, they don't. Actually, that is true. They lose more money on the NFL draft than anything else they take money on because they don't know either. Just like KJ said, like, teams have no incentive to give away their plan, and Vegas has no clue. There's nothing they can predict for, you know?
Yeah.
Would I be able to go in and bet that the Patriots will disappoint me this year?
So,
with draft picks,
there's only one way they can disappoint us.
Feels subjective, but
they trade back. That's the only way they can
disappoint. No. The only way they can disappoint us is if May goes second and they take Daniels. That would be,
you need a quarterback, period. You want to go another season with Bailey Zappi and hope the draft?
No. But I can't get tricked into thinking that Daniels doesn't stink. And I'm not going to. And I have to watch all the rest of the Pats fans be like, yep, he might be the guy. And he's literally just Justin Fields all over again. There's no difference between them.
That's harsh. The guy's Heisman
Trophy throwing a stud that bailed him out a lot.
You got to give him the ball.
I know. I'm not saying he's terrible. I'm saying he's probably not the guy that's going to like be able to lead you to a title. He's just going to keep you in the middle. And that's
So we talked about this weekend, Maddie. Like, how many quarterbacks can actually lead you to a title, right? We've seen Manning, Brady, Mahomes. Flacco, like
elite.
And Purdy probably could have, Garoppolo if he hit that pass to Emmanuel Sanders, right? But like, it's so few and far between. Like, is Herbert gonna ever lead the Chargers to a title? So I don't know. Like, I think Caleb
right
might
Herbert.
Be the guy that can from this class. But and I get the upside with May, but you know, why don't you just want to be competitive with Jaden Daniels and have some fun?
What's the point of that? That's purgatory.
Because I think the reason why you go out and get a quarterback early in the draft, like, could you reset the market? I mean, you set your cap, like, you can build your team around there. All you got to do is hit on a few picks, and then you got a good 5-year window where you can at least make a run out of if he hits the ground running after year two. You see what I'm saying? You got a good, like, 5-year money before the long-term money kicks in. So, I mean, I think it's always smart. I think y'all get one, and if he doesn't turn out, then you just try again.
I think you do. That is definitely the move. You do just keep firing. You hope to not have to have that many top picks. But you could also get out of three and do the Monty Ozen for it and move back in for J.J. McCarthy, depending on – I guess you'd have to get back up to four. But then the Cardinals, who knows, they're kind of like, you know, wild cards. But it seems like the Giants would take McCarthy if he's there at five. I mean, sorry, if he's there at six. So I guess you'd have to get to five, which is the Chargers, right? So you'd have to
I don't think the Giants go quarterback at all.
You don't think so?
I don't think they go quarterback at all. They get Daniel Jones one more weapon. You're sitting there at six. You're paying him all that money. You might as well use it.
You could bail on him after this year. You can get out of that contract after this year if he's not.
After this year, you know what I mean? Like, then you can go reset. If you're bad, the Giants are still going to be bad regardless. You know what I mean? Like, they're still going to be bad regardless. They'll be in position to draft a quarterback in the first round next year, whether it's Shador, whether it's, like, I don't know anybody else. But, yeah, no.
I think from Texas A&M, who's supposed to be pretty good.
Who's the guy from Georgia?
Carson Beck.
Beck. Yeah, Carson Beck. Yeah. Yep. Actually, while we're on this, real quick sidebar, KJ.
Yes.
Are we good with what Ohio State's doing at the quarterback position? We feel good about it? We okay?
I went to the spring game.
Yep, I saw you there. That's what I wanted to know.
I went to the spring game, and none of them really wowed me, per se. Mm-hmm. I mean, but then again, Will Howard's best skill set is his legs. So, depending how Chip Kelly's going to run the offense, I mean, you got two of the best running backs in the country. So, that all factors into how those quarterbacks are going to play. So – I think, man, if you can get them out the pocket, get them out structured a little bit, you know, typical read option, Chip Kelly stuff, I think they'll be pretty set, but it's going to be the ground that helps them out. The receivers just got to make plays when they need to make plays, but it's going to be on the ground. Man, you got two. I didn't know Junkins rushed for 1,500 yards as a freshman, man. Like, come on. Like,
dude, he's nice. He's very good.
They're going to lean on the ground, but the quarterback just has to play. He just has to be better than Common Core. That's it. You don't need.
Yeah, that's really it. And the team's probably better on the whole.
The team better around him. You just have to be better than Common Core. That's not a hard bar to reach.
No, okay, we're all in. We're all in on futures, Buckeyes futures.
All in. Poor all in. In.
We were already all in, but now
they own the portal to a degree. So curious, you played wide receiver in college. Your brother's a cornerback. Those two positions seem to be pretty deep in this draft. Are there guys that you really like on either side of the ball?
You know what's crazy? Everybody talks about Marv, man. I don't think you're losing out if you get Malik Nabers. I think Malik Nabers is an absolute stud. Then you got late round guys like Adonai Mitchell, who's tough. You got Malachi Corley. You got Ladd McConkey. You got all these guys that really good, like, not number ones, but like really good number twos, like T. Higgins. You know what I mean? Like, I think you have your number ones with your Nabers, and you have your number one with Marv
and Rome.
But you got way more number twos that can be a solid factor on this team in the wide receiver spot. Corner kind of thin. You know what I mean? Like, you got some guys, like you got Terrion Arnold. You got what's the dude from
Iowa? Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo.
Quinyon Mitchell,
Clemson, who I just spaced.
Nate Wiggins. Yep. I mean, so. Yep. Corner spot not as deep. Corner spot's very deep next year, but receiver, man, you got to get one in this class. Like, these are studs. These are really studs.
So it was interesting watching like the Michigan Ohio State game specifically in the slot corner. Like, for Ohio State, your brother was playing there, and then you had I can't pronounce his last name. There's no chance I'll get it right. Andrew Still, Mike. Who's a stud? And I've seen him as high as like late 20s.
He can go that high, man. Great character guy. Like, my friend DJ Turner played on the team, and everybody's super high for me. He played receiver starting off. It's just positional value with the slot. You're not going to usually get a slot corner go first round, unless they have a lot of outside tape. That then it's like, okay, we can take a chance on someone.
You move guys in there if you draft them high and they can't play on the outside.
It's just professional. What is it? Positional value, man. It's like D tackles don't really go run stopping D tackles don't go first round. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about what's flashing now. Getting to the passer. I mean, getting to the quarterback, making plays. Like, slot corner, you can plug and play any guy into that spot and get the same.
There are a lot of guys in this draft with fluid hips. AB, I know you haven't dug in too deep yet. You still got a few days before you're required to care about this for as long as we have. But there's some athletes. There's some guys. So there's this thing called RAS. It's this guy who runs his own site, and it's relative athletic score, and it takes into account basically every single metric that you could have at the combine, at your pro day, you know, from your game tape, and it spits out a number from 0 to 10. Yep. And there are more guys in this class that are like 9 and above, just like freak athletes. So we got some guys for you, AB. We're going to trickle some through, but I think you're going to be pretty pleased with the athleticism on display.
Oh, no, you know, my takeaway is that I'm also excited for the draft. If only it means that I have 150 less text messages a day from the two of you.
That's light. I appreciate you not turning us into total psychopaths, because that definitely feels like half. It's all heavy.
Alex, you can tell the world what you told your wife about your text messages from Maddie and I.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was just right along the lines of, I have these two lunatics on here sending me 250 texts a day projecting where, you know, the OL from Tennessee State is going to be drafted. I think you need to know that person's name, right? And I'm not singling anybody out, but it's full on psychopathic behavior.
Thank you. It meant a lot. It meant a lot. It means we're not doing enough. We could be doing more.
That being said, too, who are the, like, if you had to like pound the table, KJ, who would you go to as you were like, I want this guy, whether it's second, third round, that is getting, you know, mocked way too
for late. The Falcons, or just in general, if he owns
just in general, just like, you know, across the board,
we should get both answers, actually.
Yeah,
that is tough. There's so many prospects. Man, I think it's Malachi Corley, West Kentucky, man. He is Jordan went up against him and he was like, man, he's tough. Like, he does so much after the catch. Like, he can go first, second. Like, it doesn't matter. And I feel like you put him into the right system to where they can get him the ball in space. Like, I think he can go first round easily. But he's a first round talent. There's another receiver, Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Tough.
Yes.
Like, yep. He was one of those RAS guys, like 9.8.
The Senior Bowl too, right?
He's like, tough, man. Contested catches, like, he makes it look easy. There's something about smooth white receivers that get me going, man. Like, he's tough. Like, I think he's definitely the route to go. I don't think these guys are underrated. I think just from the class it is, like, being so thick that it is, they're going to fly. They're going to fly, like, below the radar. But
Corley was getting a lot of, like, comps to Deebo Samuel, too.
Yeah, No good.
They're just going to – anybody that does rack, they're gonna say Deebo Samuel.
That's okay. Too much. That's not fair. There's no chance. There's only one – how many Deebo Samuels do we have in the league?
None.
One. So it's awful comp. It's not fair to him. He's probably more like – I had a good comp from the other day. He's kind of like a David Boston almost. Like, not a true like stud alpha one, but a guy if he lands on the right team. I think there's two types of receivers in this draft. There's guys who can go get it, Adunze, Marv, Neighbors. Like, they're gonna make plays in the league right away, no matter who they're going up against, because they're just freak athletes. And then you got guys in the middle like Brian Thomas, McConkey, and A.D. Mitchell who, like, could go either way. And then you got a bunch of dudes who are, like, schemed up, manufactured touch type players.
Yeah.
And those guys are fun to have on your team.
Green, like, guys.
Yeah, but, like, Corley's not going to be a fantasy asset at any point. But he might be fun to have on your team in real life. There's a bunch of those guys because,
right.
You know, you got to win multiple types of routes to be, like, a true number one. And those top three guys are the only ones that are going to. I saw something about that too. It's crazy. Those guys are just in a different tier.
So, what does Atlanta do? Right, they're at 8, and
Dallas Turner. Every single mock draft, you won't find a mock draft without Dallas Turner, Terry Arnold, and Malik Nevers. Like, you won't find a single mock draft without those. Are the three positions of need: it is pass rusher, corner, receiver.
And they got. I feel like they got to wait for receiver. You guys have a second and a third. You got
some picks. You have a second.
Yeah, you don't need a stud. You don't need to waste a guy that early. Like, I know the Bengals blueprint, but nah.
What about trading down too? Right, like, you know, trade down to 13 or 12 or.
What if it meant you traded down and end up with like Jared Verse instead? Would you be okay with that?
I think you take the upside more of a Dallas Turner. I think you get the wild. You get the wild pick. You get the stud. I mean, look how he tested. I mean, the guy tested. He's proven. Something about Alabama players too, man. Off the edge. I don't think that's not a fluke. You're in the SEC every single weekend, going against the toughest opponents. Like, everybody can hit them in the SEC all they want, but it's gonna make you the most NFL ready. Yeah. I don't think you pass up. I think he's there at 9. You don't get greedy and see what you can get back, unless you know you can get from 9 to 10, maybe 9 to 11. But I wouldn't go no further than that. I think he's a top 10 pick.
What do you think about Byron Murphy? So I was reading before we jumped on here, Twitter, he's getting steamed up. There's a lot of smart, like Dane Brugler and some dudes who do a really good job with the draft are saying that
he's tackle, right?
Yeah, they're saying he could go first defensive player before even Turner.
That would be crazy. I wouldn't even think that, honestly. I don't know, man. I think Dallas Turner is probably, and if it's not him, I think it'll be a corner needy team. I really don't see a D tackle, anybody pushing up for a D tackle all the way in the top 10. But I think if
Arnold.
Those two guys, you like Arnold because he's a boundary corner. He can play there. He's tough. He's physical.
Tall. Yeah, Sauce Gardner type.
He didn't test amazing, but he tested just good enough. So,
yeah.
I think, man, the Falcons got to go edge rusher, man. They haven't had an edge rusher in years. It's just Jonathan Abraham. And that was his last years. That was his last. Vic Beasley. Dude's a, bless his heart.
Oh, the guy's, man.
He's a preacher now, man. Like, he's not even in the league.
Yeah, he's out of the league, right?
Yeah. He's out of the league. Yeah, one season. Like, we need a pass rusher, man. Like,
all right, we're gonna get you delivered. We're gonna get a pass rusher delivered.
It has to be like lock my doorstep, please, man. I put in my application to be a Falcons fan this year. I put it in.
Are you official? You're not like.
I'm going all in.
Is it Kirk Cousins? Well,
it's Kirk Cousins.
Gibby, there's a adjacent support group if it goes awry for you that Gibby's a part of for the Broncos, so he can probably sponsor you for it. Basically, what it says is you have to just irrationally and blindly trust your team, even when all the evidence tells you that they stink and they don't know what they're doing.
See, this is what I love about Falcons fans. We are very realistic. Like, they're very realistic. I'm telling you, all my friends, like, they're disappointed, but they're realistic. You see what I'm saying? Like, no one's expecting Super Bowls when you first walk in. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, bro, at least if we get to the playoffs, that is an improvement in that sorry ass division. So, man, we're good. Yep. You have to face Mahomes every year. You're not good.
Gibby. Yeah, Gibby, you're in trouble.
And Justin Herbert, like, you're screwed. We're not.
Oh, that doesn't bother Gibby. He thinks Herbert's a bottom 10 quarterback. He probably thinks Wilson's better than Herbert, actually.
I mean, Gibby can't even comprehend what you're saying right now because his team is 17-0 until proven otherwise in the start of every season.
So. Bro, I was looking at that roster, Mike. They suck. I'm not even trying to troll you, bro. They suck.
KJ, he texted me and a couple of our other buddies earlier this weekend and said, would you trade Cortland Sutton for a fourth round pick? And then we got into a whole argument about which team was worse. And it started with Gibby basically pretending that the Broncos were a different tier of talent away from the Patriots. And by the end, he was like, okay, yeah, both these teams are really bad. So we're getting him closer to where he needs to be.
He's going to be in the pit. So actually, and I'll get there at some point.
No, you won't.
I have to take a deep breath.
No,
you won't.
You've been lying to us about this for years. All right. Just, hey, to KJ's point, you need to be a little more realistic. Cause
I am realistic. I understand that they're probably only going to win like 12 to 13 games this week. No, they're two really, really good players on the team. There's Sertan, obviously.
And Josie Jewell.
No, not he's gone. He's in Jacksonville.
Who's the second good player on that team?
Quinn Meinerz. Really good right guard.
Actually, yeah. Is that the kid they took in the first round a couple years ago?
No, third round. The belly, they call him. So those are the only two marketable players on the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and one of them nobody on this call has heard of, and we all watch a lot of football, so it's no problem. It's fine.
Northern Iowa, I think he played in Northern Iowa. Or
yeah, no, he was a D3 guy. Ugly but stuff. So anyway, yes, nasty you're work. Right. And for the record, I did not bring up the Broncos on this call.
No, but you were going to, so we just decided to get on the offensive. Yeah, we got out ahead of you. That's it.
So what's the ceiling on Caleb Williams? Like, do you have a feeling like are we looking at Pro Bowl? Or are we looking at, you know, Trevor Lawrence type, you know, what Burrow, like what? I think there are different levels to it, right? Like there's Trevor Lawrence, there's Joe Burrow, then there's Mahomes. Where does he fit in that number one stratosphere?
I think his floor, I don't think his floor is any lower than Kyler Murray. Like, I don't think he's going to be a bust. Like, I think his floor is no lower than Kyler Murray, like a fringe top 10 quarterback. And then, the ceiling is as high as it can be. The guy's always been the number one player in every single class he's ever been in. The dude can play. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't think he's a bust. I think people are a little nitpicky on the little things that he does.
Prospect fatigue.
But yeah, it's probably you have to. You know what I mean? You sit in front of a screen, you're gonna nitpick everything like all day. Okay, the dude pays.
Nobody comes in as a finished product. Nobody, not even the best players in the world.
Yeah, like, no. So that's what I'm saying. So it's like I think he can be I'm not gonna say he can be Pat Mahomes, but I think he can be a solid top five quarterback. That's his ceiling. And his floor is no lower than Kyler Murray. I don't see him ever dipping below that range, really.
I agree with the floor. That's a good comp. Because Murray's perennially anywhere from like your QB6 to QB10, depending on how well he's playing that year.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? Yeah. I that's what I'm saying. I think he falls right in.
Talent around him too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He came out today and said that he's going to spend his whole career with the team that drafts him, so the Bears. So I can't wait to see how quickly Rick's Bears can break his spirit once he gets
Shouldn't take long. I would think a year max, right? Rick is like very excited but also very nervous because he's just expecting to get smoked somehow, which maybe they'll trade out for a bounty and they'll have Tyson Badgett be the quarterback. Rick, we might lose Rick forever.
I mean, how does that feel if you're a Chicago fan, right? Like they've kind of done everything right.
Yeah. I
don't think they go receiver. Honestly, in my opinion, I don't even think they go receiver, but I think the receiver is flashy. It's a good solid pick. I mean, you look at the age of Keenan Allen I think they're at 9.
He's like 33.
This is probably it for him.
If the Falcons don't go Dallas Turner, they snatch him up. They go edge rusher. And I think they solidify that defense. You got somebody on the other side of Sweat. You got Johnson on the outside locking it down with a couple other solid guys. Dude, if they just have a defense around that team, there's no stopping that team. Like, the division's wide open. It's wide open.
Yeah. It's a good place to be. Yeah, they built the team properly. The defense is the defense was sneaky good last year. It was already like a top 10 defense in the league. They it was good. It was a good defense. So I don't know. It's tough. You could get a defense, or you could just go all in, take one of those receivers, and just because you're gonna need somebody for when Allen's gone, and you know you need two guys. You don't need one. So
Allen put up his best. He put up his best year statistically.
I know, but he's a soft tissue injury guy, and those pop up, and then when they come back, it's like you're jammed up for like multiple months. So I worry about that.
Do they still have Mooney, or is he gone?
No, he's down. Yeah, KJ.
Oh gosh, look at you guys go.
Uh-huh. As I said, we don't need one. We don't need a receiver. We just need an edge rusher.
You need a receiver in the second. You need like a. You need to get a McConkey, or no, he won't make it. You need to get like one of those dudes in the early second, and then you've got something that you can work. Like, don't
receiver corner. We can't go wrong with either one. Receiver corner, we can't go wrong first round.
Question about this too, right? Like where you have 15 receivers potentially in this draft that could be two or threes in most receiving rooms or most receiver rooms. Like, do you reach for those guys in the second or the third, or do you hope you get one in the fourth or the fifth and get the last guy? Because you can get the Darnell Mooneys for cheap, and they can play. And there's another round next year and the year after. And I don't know who the next Ohio State wide receiver is, but, like, I mean, that's the thought process, too. So
you don't know?
Jeremiah Smith, man.
Okay.
You haven't seen any Jeremiah Smith tape
yet? No, and Mike Jordan told me it's literally unlike anything he's ever seen in his life.
It's outrageous.
Like, and he's like, KJ, when I say this, just keep in mind, I've seen Garrett, Chris, Barb, Mecca, all of them. He's like, they've seen nothing like it.
He's going to get some good reps in practice this year against him. Like, that's going to make your brother even better. Like,
no, he hasn't gone against him yet. He hasn't put him
not
in the
yet.
He's like, dude, I don't even want to go against him. He's like, I don't even want to go against him. Like, yeah, he's tough. Like, they're like, man, he is.
Are they tackling in the spring game?
Nah, they didn't tackle. Nah. I think the walk-ons tackled, but
yeah. No, this kid is exotic. It's Gibby. Go watch some tape. You might as well, because you might end up pairing him at some point in 2026 with Arch Manning. So you should probably get a good feel for both of them.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to trade down and pick up as many first round picks.
Of course, yeah. Get the whole first half of the first round in 2 years. Yeah,
I've already mocked that.
I bet you have.
So KJ, honestly, like, so you were recruited out of high school. Like, you're talking to 3-0 star recruits. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Alex
confirmed.
Be honest.
AB just had a problem. He didn't know which sport to play, and so he just ended up not playing any of them.
So in the intro, I was doing, you know, the scouting report on you or whatever. Like, do you look at that, like, where you're ranked as a college recruit in terms of either position or ESPN's big board when it's coming out? Like, do you actually think about that, and are you comparing that to other players?
So when you have a helicopter dad, like, you have no, like – dude, my dad was up my ass, so of course I know the receivers that were in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, you got guys that it fuels them, and the other guys just really don't care. They don't even care where they're at. They're just gonna play wherever they're at. Me, I was a little bit of both. Like, I didn't really care, but then it was like, all right, well, my dad's over here talking about John Smith over at XY school. Now I gotta figure out who he is and why he's better than me. You know what I mean? But I don't think a lot of kids, like, they know it, but a lot of kids don't read too much into it. They don't read too much into it, honestly. They really don't.
Okay. I was curious. I was doing some research, and I was like, this is interesting. I wonder what I would be doing. I would probably be so in the weeds.
Now, in the state of Georgia, whatever state you are, you definitely know the receivers out of your state. Nationally, you probably might not know as much, but, like, for your state, you know where you compare. Because, like, man, I'll see kids get offers from schools. I'm like, dude, this guy sucks. Like, one of my best friends, my college roommate, he got an offer from UConn just before I got any offers at all. I was like, dude, this guy fucking sucks. Why is he in front? Why did he get an offer from me? The next year, he's in my roommate in college, and he's my best friend. I'm like, literally, I talked to him. I'm like, dude, you suck. You shouldn't have got the UConn.
You gotta trick somebody.
You know, man. Like, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm curious about another Georgia player, and Maddie and I have been going back and forth about him for a while. University of Georgia, Brock Bowers, tight end. Mm-hmm. If he was just a receiver, where would you rank him?
He would go top 10. Again, it's positional value. Tight ends, like, you can find – it's like a car. It's like, okay, do you want the X6 or do you want a Honda Civic where you're not going to have to pay a bunch of – a 2024 Honda Civic, we're not going to have to pay a bunch of maintenance and all that. it's just positional value. It's where you rank tight ends. Like, dude, as a pass catcher, he's right behind Marvin Neighbors. Like, as a pass catcher, yeah. I mean, dude, the best college freshman tight end we've seen since I don't even know.
Like, that team fell off when he got hurt this year. It killed their chances.
We get bored. I mean, look, if Brock Bowers would have burst onto the scene his second year or his third year, then we'd be talking a lot more about him. But we get bored of him, man. He's been in the limelight since he's been a freshman. The kid can play. He's taking screen passes like 80 yards. Like, net sweeps 80 yards.
He's playing in the backfield, too. Like, he's, you know.
It's a luxury pick, right? Like, I don't know. I just don't – I'm with KJ. This is my whole thing, Gibby. Like, the Jets shouldn't be taking Brock Bowers at 10. They need linemen. They need guys that can keep Rodgers upright. He's not moving out of the pocket. He's going to be stationary back there. Like, their line is no good. So, like, if you keep making your way down, you end up kind of like maybe he could go to, like, the Saints, or you could see him ending up in, like, Seattle or Cincy.
I mean, he'd be a really nice safety net for Zach Wilson. But
You guys are taking Jared Verse. If the Broncos stay at 12, they're taking Verse. I'm just telling you that now.
Broncos love pass rushers, man. They're definitely going to pass rusher. 100%. Yeah. They love pass rushers.
Yeah. I like Arnold or Mitchell. But
Verse is so good. You would love him, dude. You've watched him in his tape from Florida State.
I love Verse. Games. I do love Verse. Like,
just ruins powerful. Games.
He's like, you know, Bradley Chubb was at NC State.
Yeah, just like a lot better, but pretty close.
But you don't have to pass on Josh Allen to take.
Ooh, touche.
Yeah. Al, what do you hope to get out of Thursday and Friday and Saturday of this draft, other than the text messaging?
I was going to say less than 300 texts. I mean,
can't promise it.
I think that my takeaway is that I'll be much more intrigued now that DraftKings is legal and I can go in and make a live – draft bet as we go through it, so that'll keep my attention at least for the first round.
The generosity, yes sir.
Yeah.
scale of 1 to 10, how much do you trust Maddie and I on following any of our bets that we might make on certain players or teams or positions?
Oh, I'm at like 2% on following you guys' bets. Our betting group and started making my own. My ROI is so much higher.
Oh, I haven't won a bet in months. Months. I literally don't even know what it feels like anymore. I feel like
I just cash out as soon as I possibly can. As soon as I get an offer, I cash out and go to bed.
Gibby's move is the 16-team parlay that he's hoping the first 8 legs hit and he can get a cash out offer and walk away.
That's it. He's not trying to play the whole
thing. That's not a strategy. I'm about to try that.
No, you don't want to try that.
That might be a good strategy. You know, it's burned me a lot, like taking like a power five team against a group five team that you think they're going to win, and then the upset. So what happens is you lose the early slate. And it's like, oh, yeah, there's no way Bama loses to Tennessee today. There's no way. It's plus 500. Just lost $500 for today.
So
you can't get rich in there. They lied to us. They sold us the dream, and we can't get it.
Last question for you, KJ, before we take off. I know you're a recent fan of the WWE. How did you feel about WrestleMania? Were you upset? I know you're a Roman Reigns guy.
So look, I'm gonna tell y'all this, and this might sound crazy. I had a trip. Don't clip this. I had a trip to Virginia Beach planned to see one of my good friends, and once I realized that it fell on the same weekend of WrestleMania, I canceled it because when I tell y'all, I am so locked in, like, because I didn't experience this as a kid. I really didn't.
Okay.
It's not that my parents didn't let me watch it. I just didn't. Like, if you see my post, I'm very against the grain. Like, I'm going to go against the common whatever. So every kid.
You're a contrarian. It works.
I'm contrarian. I'll admit it. Yep. You know what I mean? It's fun. It makes life
good thing.
Fun. But I never, until I finally watched, I think it was SummerSlam or Money in the Bank this year. And I followed. I watch all Raws. Like, Raw is on right now. Y'all are ruining my Raw time. Like, Raw, SmackDown.
I do remember as a kid that feeling of falling wrestling, and it was like a soap opera for kids, but with dudes falling in their bodies.
I'm a 10-year-old now. Like, it was my first one, man. I'm up screaming at my television. Like, we had a watch party, me and my friends. I'm over here screaming Cody Rhodes' theme song, Seth Rollins' theme song. Undertaker, John Cena came out, man. You could if you put me in a room with 10-year-olds, I would have fit straight in when John Cena came out.
Hey, I didn't realize that Cody Rhodes' dad was Goldust. Goldust was like one of the first weird wrestlers. I remember being like, what is this guy's deal? I went on a rabbit hole chase the other night. The origin of that character, how it came to be, why, like, the backstories that these guys create are wild. It's
beautiful, man. Like, I appreciate the writing. I appreciate, dude, I can tell you when a spear is coming, a German suplex is coming, a clothesline, all that stuff. Now I'm locked in. Like, I love it. Locked.
I'm glad it's that and not like F1 or something boring.
Yeah, man, like, get, dude, that I'm shit out of here. I'm telling you, locked in.
I can understand because when I was 16 years old, I was in a AOL role play league where you basically just had to write the storyline for wrestlers. Okay. And you got certain points. And I had to be Shawn Michaels. And
had to be Shawn Michaels, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah, he's the coolest guy. Oh, top break, forgive me. Oh, Shawn Michaels, he wasn't cool at all. Everybody loves Shawn Michaels.
Like, I'm that deep in now. Yo, I watched the Peacock. If you go on Peacock, they have all the Raw and all the SmackDown, all archived all the way down to the 90s. I swear to God.
Really? Now that's interesting to me.
Go look at it. I know Shawn Michaels is Stone Cold. I know all of them now. Like, deep. Tell y'all, man, I'm deep.
This is interesting. I didn't realize they had the Heartbreak Kid on there. He did some cool stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'm glad we ended the first edition of NFL Draft going down, and well, our fans
no
are
promises
at it.
As to where this podcast will go at any.
We'll never know where we're gonna go. Alex, thank you. KJ, thank you. Maddie, amazing. Thank you, Bruce. This is so much fun to do. We appreciate everyone.
All right, go everybody.
Yeah.